Welcome to part two of our roundtable about optimizing your extra sections on LinkedIn.
Yes, I'm removing my babysitting certificate from LinkedIn now.
Right as we
speak. When I was 12, I was like, yeah, babysitting certificate, never mind.
Well, that's a good point, Maya, because that's something I wanted to talk about is the skills section. Because with that, it isn't just a list, because you need to be intentional about it. So are you currently seeking babysitting positions?
No.
And that's just it. Recruiters, not only recruiters lean on it, but the LinkedIn systems also drive your profile to the recruiters when you list skills that you're interested in. So here's the reality. It's a laundry list of random or outdated skills. It confuses everyone. Not only the robot that's out there filtering your LinkedIn, but also the humans, because they don't know what you're really interested in doing. It really signals jack of all trades, but master of none, instead of this is exactly who I need for this role. And so for job seekers, I think the play is simple, but it's very powerful. So you want to pin your top three skills to match the roles that you're targeting, and then keep it specific. So instead of saying clinical trial management, instead of just leadership. So you want to be very specific and intentional in the skills that you use, and use the rest to reinforce 2 to 3 clear lanes of expertise, and make sure that you take out everything that is irrelevant every few months. So especially if you're changing careers, you need to keep an eye out on your profile so you're targeting the jobs that you're interested in being targeted for. And then, of course, there's endorsements as well. That adds a nice layer of social proof. But, of course, those only should come from people who've actually seen you in action. So one of the things that I've seen, so Maya, you had a good example about being having a babysitting certification. So, and that's just the point. What does a profile with 50 plus unrelated skills tell you? So, for example, do you think having dog walker as a skill is going to make you come up in the system for the job that you're searching for now? So, and just really think about what 5 to 10 skills that you should have pinned on your profile. And even if you have to go and look it up, just think of some of your skills. That's GCP compliance, risk-based monitoring, etc. So just keep it very specific to what you're interested in pursuing now, because that's not only going to help the recruiters, but it's going to help the LinkedIn systems pull you up into the profiles for the people who are searching for you. So take care to do that too in skills.
I'm just looking at mine now and I'm thinking, holy cow.
Yeah, probably all need to review some of ours.
Well, you know, it really is interesting because before we started recording, I was like, well, at least if you have those skills on there, just because you can add 100. I mean, there's like tons of them. I personally don't look at people's skills, but from everything you've researched, Carrie, it's obviously very important, especially to the 360 BrewBot. So my initial thought was, okay, we'll put the babysitting down at the bottom, right? But you're saying that will confuse
that
the bots.
That could hurt you. Mm-hmm.
So, I got to go clean my skills up now, Carrie. You just gave me homework.
Everybody add it to your task list, I'm sure. Don't look at my LinkedIn profile for a couple of days, everyone. Come back. Come back soon.
Oh, my goodness. No, that's good information. Thank you for that. And I agree with the endorsements. I think a lot of times people feel like they're doing other people favors by endorsing. And there are actually tools out there that will automatically endorse like your first connections if you're doing scans or whatever. But yeah, definitely don't endorse someone for FDA or regulatory if you don't know they've got good regulatory skills. But now you guys, if you do get endorsements, so like there are some endorsements that I've got that's like 99. So, and I think you can only get so many endorsements. I would rotate those down and rotate other ones up. So you could still keep them within the top range. But once you get them endorsed, you know, there's only so many endorsements you can get. Rotate the ones that hit that maximum down and the other ones that you want to be endorsed up, because that'll make a difference in the algorithm too.
And I think that the skills section, education, experience section is something that everyone knows to do. I feel like most LinkedIn profiles, those are all filled out. But one section that is just very underutilized is your publication section. And if I'm being honest, before I started here, I didn't know what that was, didn't know it was there, didn't really understand why it was there. But if I'm being completely honest, in a clinical research field, you need a publication section, in my opinion, because it is where the proof is that shows what you've done in clinical research. So, I mean, I've personally probably seen only a handful of clinical researchers use the publication section. I mean, have you guys seen a lot of people utilize it at all?
I use it.
Yeah.
But I've been published several times, and so I've got several publications out there, and I do think people underutilize it. I'm looking really quick to see if it's going to give me a number, but 20-something out there where I've been published multiple times, and it adds, there are people that reach out to me, say, oh my gosh, I saw where you wrote for whatever, blah, 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 right? It can be very powerful.
It's very interesting to the hiring managers as well. They love seeing that because that, like you said, it's proof. Mm-hmm. It's more than you just saying, hey, I can do this. This is what I did.
You link to the publication. If you gave a presentation, like, you know, whenever I spoke at the ACRP, I linked to their advert that showed that I was going to be speaking there. And so that makes it real, too. I mean, it is very powerful.
Yeah. And one of the things is once you start putting your publications out there, whether it's, you know, articles, your links, conference talks that you've been a part of, those will boost your audience on LinkedIn to a more professional network that you want. And wouldn't it be so cool if you have all of, you know, these nice sections, all of this proof, and a hiring manager from, you know, let's say Abbott or something wants to come and like look at your profile and you got a message and you're like, hi, I like what I like what you do. You know, what do you have available? Wouldn't that be so cool to just have someone reach out to you that way because of the proof that you have on your profile? Mm-hmm. And, you know, we can obviously, from a recruiting standpoint, we can do things like, you know, we can search your name and we can search the word studies. We could probably find research works out for you on ResearchGate, but it would just be so nice not to have to dig for the proof that you did what you said you did and just have it right there.
Agreed.
And it would be so concise and nice. And yeah, it's just no one would have to dig. And a few weeks ago, we talked about the about section and we talked about the what you do, who you serve, and the proof. This is the place where you want to put your proof. This is the bread and butter of your clinical research experience and proof, in my opinion. So I think your publication section should be utilized as much as possible.
Love it.
I love that too. Concise and nice. Make it concise and nice.
Concise and nice.
And it's not just your proof. It's like your authority. It's your showing your expertise. Like, I'm so knowledgeable in this area that I'm the expert that wrote this article about it. Like, it helps to give you this gravitas, I think, too. You know, we talk about proof in a lot of other sections too, but I think the real gem of this section is this is what shows I'm an authority in this space because I've, you know, put this information out there and explained it elsewhere. And I think that's really gold.
Well, teaching or being able to instruct or writing really is a form of teaching because you're outlining, you know, a methodology or whatever. It is the nirvana of learning. You know, I was coaching yesterday and you start talking about improving skills and whenever you're assessing what skills you need to improve in order to become more marketable in a specific role, you know, you should rate yourself from a scale of 0 to 5. So let's say regulatory, for example. Okay, well, 5 to me would mean that I can go teach other people regulatory. Well, if you write about it, then you're closer to that 5 because now you're teaching other people. And so it does show your expertise. And so I would highly recommend it. And you're right. I mean, we whenever we do our digital footprint analysis on people all of the time, I mean, Savannah, you touched on this. We're looking for things like from ResearchGate. So why not add it in there and point to it? I think it's beautiful. So, and before we wrap all this up, all of you guys that are listening, you know, I mentioned this at the very front of it whenever I talked about the featured sections, because some of these sections aren't, you go look at your profile, they're not going to be there. So again, if underneath your face, underneath the banner, your face and all this, right next to the open or the message or whatever, there is an add section button. And if you click on that add section button, you're going to have the core of your profiles. And those are your basics, right? And those are the things that everybody cares about, your education, your positions, you know, that type of thing. Then there's a recommended. And that's where a lot of the things that we talked about today can be added. You can click on the featured, add it, add license certification. If you are a project manager and you've done projects, you can add projects there. You can add courses or coursework. So if you've done extra things that, like, you know, clinical management coursework at, you know, some type of institution, and you want, it's not necessarily a degree or diploma, but you want to add it, you can do that. Your recommendations, you would have to add that. But there are also other additional things that you can add. Let's say that you volunteer. So let's say like a big thing for you is animal safety and welfare. And so you volunteer at the local animal shelter, the no-kill shelter or whatever, and because of your focus, that's important. Now, again, you don't want to confuse the bots, so don't make this a laundry list of things, right? But if that type of thing is important to your career path and it's important to what you're standing for in your career, then add things like that in your volunteer experience. So say that you volunteer at the hospital, let's say that you do this, that, or the other. The publications are there if you've got patents. You can add those. Honors and awards. There's an honor and award section that you can add. Test scores, languages. If you speak multiple languages, you can add that section. Any other organizations or causes, you can add those as well. Because I think all of those things are really, really important as long as it's in alignment with what your story is.
So many things you can do, you guys. And just to wrap it all together here at the end, everything on your LinkedIn should tell the same story across all of your sections. You want to keep the tone casual and conversational, but making sure you hit what recruiters and the algorithm actually care about in these other sections. So here's a recap for the theme of each of these major sections that we talked about today. So the featured section, it's your proof of what you know and what you do. The recommendation section is your social proof. It's where others help to quantify the proof, right? The licenses, certifications, and education sections are your credibility and your currency. It's how do you know what you say you know and you do. The skills section provides search alignment with keywords and filters. The publication section gives you that authority we talked about earlier in your area of expertise. So each one of these major other sections does something special for your profile and your branding. So here's your homework. Pick one section this week and upgrade it so it matches the story in your headline and your about section. All right. Well, that's all the time we have. Thank you so much, team, for this discussion. Thank you all out there for listening. If you want to explore more of our content, you can visit CRAresources.com/blog to check out our latest articles and additional podcasts. You can also sign up to get this content delivered to your inbox, and feel free to reach out at CRAresources.com for more information about our firm. We can't wait to work with you.